When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to Cardiff City World. The championship is back, baby. It's been a painful couple of weeks, especially if you're a Cardiff City and a Welsh fan. But for Wales fans everywhere, it's been a painful week. But for Cardiff fans, it's been a brutal couple of weeks. And look, it's football. It is what it is. But it hasn't been enjoyable, let's say that. So let's get back to it. It's Good Friday. Hopefully we're in for some good football. Sunderland are bidding to bring an end to a 7-game winless run in the championship where they make that trip down to the capital on the unusual time of a Friday afternoon, of course. But Cardiff ended the international break on a low with a poor defeat versus their derby rivals, Swansea City. And it was a very poor performance on the back of some good performances as well, which made it that extra bit of disappointment really tinged in there because they'd been in good form and it was poor. They didn't turn up, but this is their first opportunity to set it right. And as if you're not familiar with the way we do the previews on Cardiff City World and Ace Podcast Nation, we look at the opponents first, we look at their team, players to watch, the tactics, and then we switch over and we look at Cardiff and important players, etc. You know the score. But Cardiff brought a 4-game winning run into that Swansea game, and they'd beaten Stoke, Bristol, Huddersfield, Ipswich in that period. However, they were beaten 2-0, and it was a very, very poor performance. Cardiff currently 11th in the championship. They boast a record of 16 wins, 5 draws, 17 defeats in total from their 38 games with 53 points. Left them 8 points off the playoff places. Probably unrealistic to say Cardiff are still in the playoff hunt, but mathematically they are. You know, it's and look, that sort of 8 points can go quickly in the championship. We all know this league. Cardiff and Sunderland sit 11th and 12th respectively. Cardiff do have a bit of a cushion of that 5-point gap between the two sides, although Sunderland have got a much better goal difference. In terms of the playoffs, I think it's probably a step too far, and I know a lot of fans would like to see some of the youth players blooded now. And I know there's another portion of fans who think while the playoffs are still in sight and still within reach mathematically, you should play your strongest side, etc., etc. So there's a bit of a balance to be made, and we will discuss both. But we're going to obviously start off with Sunderland. And they entered the international break on the back of a 0-0 draw with QPR. And it's going to be interesting what sort of form Sunderland come in, because they've been very poor. They had that, as I mentioned, that 0-0 draw. But that ended a six-game losing streak, which is almost unheard of, but very, very poor. Mike Dodds remains in charge of Sunderland, and it is an interim base after Michael Beale, which was a bit of a debacle, him leaving the club. You can't get away from the fact they probably had an up-and-down season, to say the least. They finished sixth in the Championship last year, were very impressive following their promotion back up to the Championship. They did just miss out in the playoffs to Luton Town. And they are one place behind Cardiff, so there's a lot to play for. They're 13 points off the playoffs, so I think probably that's too much. But they've actually lost four of the last five games against Cardiff, including a 1-0 defeat where the two sides met in Sunderland at the start of the season. And actually, I thought Cardiff City were very impressive in that game. Like, it was the almost like the perfect away performance. Kept it tight at the back, didn't let Sunderland create too many clear-cut chances. And then towards the end of the game, really hit them on the break, scored a good goal. And actually, they should have scored another one just after they scored Mark McGuinness's goal. Mark McGuinness scored in the 87th minute, and they had another chance, a really clear-cut chance, straight after on the break, and they didn't take it. So, look, there's no doubt about it, right? If Sunderland can find the form now to finish the end of the season, find the form they had last year, they're a good side, and they've got some good players, and they're very capable of playing some good football. And as Cardiff City fans will know, when a team comes to Cardiff and they're out of form, they usually suddenly find their form when they play us. But Cardiff are missing a few players. They're missing McGuinness due to a hamstring injury long-term. Jack Alnwick, Kian Atete will have late fitness tests. Perry NG, who's the joint top scorer for Cardiff City in all competitions this season, has managed six goals. He will be back in the 11 for Friday's game. Carlin Grant, Ryan Wintle and Cyprus all expected to come back in as well. Sunderland manager Dodds has confirmed during his press conference this week that Jensen Seelt will require an operation on his knee injury, which means that the centre-back is facing up to 9 months on the sidelines. Patrick Roberts is unlikely to be risked after an injury to his hamstring. And Jack Clark is probably also facing a late test on an ankle issue. Corey Evans, AJ Alisi are back in training for Sunderland, which is a good shout. I quite like Corey Evans as a player. He reminds me a lot of his brother in certain things he does, particularly on the ball. Long-term injury absences in Roosin, Huggins and Sirkin for Sunderland. And Luke O'Neill, who has missed Sunderland's last two games through suspension, will return for this match. While there could also be a role at centre-forward for Joby Bellingham. So let's have a look at Sunderland. It's an interesting one, because as bad a form as they've been in, it's a very capable side. And you can only look at, like, we'll go through their probably predicted possible 11, whatever you want to call it, and there's some players in there, particularly at Championship level, some really, really good players. And I mean, I've just mentioned one in Joby Bellingham. He's an excellent player. Probably isn't at the level his brother was at the same age, but who is at the end of the day? His brother is a particularly special talent. And I think Joby Bellingham is an excellent footballer in his own right. And I've been very impressed with him. Very impressed with the way he goes about his business. He works hard. He's got a lot of quality. Impressive, I've got to say. So let's have a look at this. Sunderland, we like to go back to the last game they played, which was pre-international break versus QPR. I mentioned it just now. They had the 0-0, which ended the run of six losses on the bounce. The manager said, he was a little bit disappointed with the performance, but he said they worked hard. And he is trying to get bodies back. It sounds like they've had quite a few injuries. So he'll be looking to get some people back. And on Joby Bellingham, it's interesting. Like, he's been touted to play up front against Cardiff, but against QPR, he played in that double pivot with Neil. he is a very flexible player. I mean, he's a player I'd keep an eye on. I think, look, I know I don't think it's like a groundbreaking for me to say, like, keep an eye on him, and he looks like he's going to be a player now. But I think he's so versatile and quality on the ball. And as I mentioned, he works so hard. Like, I really feel like even if a Premier League club doesn't take a risk on him, I feel that maybe another Championship club may come and try and spend some cash on him. Look, I would love to have him at Cardiff, I've got to say. I think that's how, you know, I rate him a lot. Generally speaking, you'll see Sunderland line up in a 4-2-3-1. The back five, generally, I think, will probably pick itself. Maybe Corey Evans comes back in. I don't think so. He's depends how much he's trained over that international break, I guess. But it'll be, I would imagine, Patterson, Hume on the right, Styles on the left, and then Ballard and Hylder in the centre-back positions. I really like Ballard. He's a traditional centre-back, gets stuck in, attacks the ball. And I quite like Styles off the left as well, the left fullback. He likes to get up and down, good on the ball. Then against QPR, they had the double pivot of Neil and Bellingham. But just with a little bit of research I did, it does look like possibly they could make a change for that with Equa coming in to play alongside Neil, and then you'll get your Mundo, Aoci and Barr as the three behind the striker. And then, look, I mean, do you know what? I'm going to go against what I've been reading. I don't think Bellingham will play up front. I don't see it. I think you're more likely to see Semedo continue up front and Bellingham alongside a Neil. And then maybe there's one or two. I know Sunderland have been scraping the barrel, and I don't mean scraping that in a disrespectful way in terms of the players. I mean, they're scraping the barrel and they're having to use a lot of youth players on the bench or young players on the bench. One player who has been on the bench recently, who I really rate, I don't know if he's up to full fitness at the moment, is Bradley Dack. If they can get Bradley Dack playing now and towards the end of the season, he can be a massive asset to them. Even, you know, an aging Bradley Dack is a quality Championship footballer. You know, can play in the wide areas, can play in the 10, play up front, midfield. He can play everywhere, and he is a quality footballer, really up there in modern era of Championship football as one of the best. Maybe affected by injuries and things like that, but in terms of consistent Championship players, I think Bradley Dack is right up there. So it'll be interesting to see if Sunderland can get him on the pitch and fit and playing for the rest of the season. I don't think it'll be any surprise to many people, but my man to watch for Sunderland and from a Cardiff point of view is Joey Bellingham. I think, like I mentioned, he could do it all. And I think one thing Cardiff have done quite well this year is then whoever's played in the number 10 position or the attacking midfield position has done a good job on the deepest lay in midfield to try and stop them dictating the play, particularly when it's been Reuben Caldwell in that position. He's done it a few times. And I think, you know, Neil and Bellingham will try and dictate play from that midfield area. And I think that's where the game is probably going to be won and lost this time around. I look at the Sunderland players and I do like the left-hand side they've got. They've got Styles and they've got Barr. But the right-hand side defensively is also Cardiff's stronger side. So I think that could be a bit of a battle. But I just look at the midfield of Neil, of Bellingham, of Aoci, and I think that could be a really interesting battle between the two teams. As we move on to Cardiff City, in many ways, I don't think there'll be a great deal of surprises in the Cardiff City selection. But in my opinion, so normally I try to go with these predicted teams. I'll try and go with what I think the managers are going to do, not necessarily what I would do. But I think for this one, because of how bad the Swansea City performance was, I believe that I'm just going to give my opinion on that starting lineup a bit more than I perhaps usually would. look, first and foremost, Haworth didn't do anything wrong, keeps his place. Perry-Engie is the most consistent Cardiff City player in the side, probably alongside Carlin Grant. However, had an absolute average game against Swansea. He was bang average, then that's probably being kind. So I think he will want to get out on the pitch. He will want to make a point to Cardiff City fans to show that it was an off game. So I think he retains his place at right back. I'd imagine Nat Phillips and Gutas will be centre backs. No McGuinness at the moment. The left fullback, I believe Jamali Collins will come in. Wilson Esbrand looked really. He just looked like the occasion got to him. Really fraught. Just no composure on the ball. Really rattled, I've got to be honest. And look, he's a young player. Can happen in a hostile atmosphere, a big game. He's been pretty good since he's come in on loan in January. But I thought he was poor. Maybe he just needs a rest. Although we've had the international break, so maybe he's been able to get it out of his head. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Jamali Collins come back in, hasn't played for a while. And then this is where I think is really interesting for Cardiff. So I believe that the manager will play Joe Rawls, Siopis as a two. I would completely switch it up for this game. Ryan Wintle doesn't do it for me. He has had a little sort of run, a period where he's been pretty good, but doesn't do enough for me on the ball. I feel like, particularly at home, Cardiff need a bit more than a lot of energy and runs around and tries hard, with the greatest of respect to him. So I would, Siopis is, you know, straight in, one of the best defensive midfielders in the league. So he goes in alongside. For me, it would be, I'd bring Turnbull in there. I want to see Turnbull playing in that deep position now. I don't need to see him in the 10. It doesn't do enough there for me. I think he'd be more effective as part of a two with the deep line midfielders. And I think now, with the end last few games of the season, I want to see Siopis and Turnbull build a partnership for ready for next year, which will also help with the number 10 position. But I want to see Turnbull alongside Siopis. Turnbull's really good on the ball, and he has the ability to play through the lines. And one of the criticisms I aim at Ryan Wintle quite often is that his passing is so lateral. It's sideways all the time. It's very rare you'll see him break a line, or you'll switch play, or he'll move with carry the ball and progress the play. And I think we need that. Like, to get the best out of Siopis, you need someone next to him who can progress the play and progress the team up the pitch. Joe Rawls does it, but he doesn't have the legs to be that combative midfielder who's good on the ball, but also can be get about a bit, you know, nice and mobile. And I think Turnbull offers that. So I want to see Turnbull, Siopis in the two. I do not want to see Josh Bowler on the right-hand side. He's on loan. He isn't going to sign next year. I hope he's not. He's not going to sign permanently. I'm not really interested in seeing him unless we absolutely have to for the rest of the season. And look, if he was the best player in the side or the best option at right wing, all right, then maybe you could make an argument for it. But as far as I'm concerned, he's not the best option for a number of reasons. He's very, very inconsistent. He doesn't work hard enough. He's got a bit of a bad attitude sometimes. Haven't been impressed at all. Don't see the point in playing him unless we have to at the moment. So on the right-hand side, I think I'm going Ollie Tanner. It's a home game. Let's get the crowd up before the game with the selection. Let's get us Sunderland early. Let's play good football and let's press high and try and be a progressive team. So let's see Turnbull alongside Siopis in the midfield. Let's see Tanner on the right and give him a run of games, because he's going to be here next year. Bowler isn't. So let's give Ollie Tanner 4 or 5 games, starting at least an hour, and see what he can do when he gets a run of games. Like, we've seen Reuben Caldwell improve through the season with a run of games. And actually, the thing which has been unfortunate for Reuben Caldwell is every time he gets a bit of momentum, he gets rotated. Whereas when he gets those few games in a row to start, he's done very well. So on the right, I'm going Ollie Tanner. On the left is an interesting one, see? So yeah, a few weeks ago, I would have probably gone with Bowler off the left and said, play on the left, beat your man, put the ball in the box. But I want to see Cardiff be progressive, be attacking, and actually really try and get at teams. So I would play O'Dowda on the left, Tanner on the right. I think, by the way, just to cut in quickly, I think the manager might play O'Dowda at left back instead of Wilson Esperand and not Jermaine Collins, but I'm just talking about what I would do. I would play O'Dowda left wing. I'd play Tanner right wing. The number 10, I'd get Reuben Colwell in there. He just had a very successful spell with the 21s. Probably should have been in the Welsh squad for the game Tuesday to come off the bench. It was probably very, I thought he was very unfortunate not to make the squad. And he could have been a player that we could have put on at the end there. And, you know, especially when you consider Ramsey didn't get used. I expect Ramsey to be on the bench. I'd be very surprised if he starts. Looked way off the pace against Swansea. Gave away a few free kicks. And understandably, he's been out for a while. So Colwell would be my number 10. And then up front, I'm going Carlin Grant. As I say, I want Cardiff to be progressive. I want to see Cardiff getting in and around Sunderland's defence, getting in behind and moving. And I think it's absolutely, in order for Cardiff to be a progressive team and to press high and to play football and to utilise the likes of Ollie Tanner, utilise the likes of O'Dowda and utilise Turnbull's ball-playing abilities, we need to have a striker which runs in behind, create space for Colwell to drop into as a number 10 and link up with, not someone who's going to drop deep into the same space that Colwell's looking to get in. So I'm going Grant up front, Colwell 10, left-hand side, O'Dowda, right-hand side, Ollie Tanner. And I want to see Cardiff start fast. I want to see Cardiff try and put Sunderland under pressure early doors and get the crowd up. Look, the crowd are going to be frustrated going into the game. Wales have just lost at the final hurdle on penalties. Cardiff put in an all-time awful performance against Swansea in the last game. So the best way to combat that frustration and that unhappiness is to name an attacking side, start fast, and get the crowd up. So that's what I would do. I'm very interested. You guys let me know in the comments if you'd do something different or if you don't agree with what I've said. Always interested in people's opinions and Cardiff fans and see if they see things differently. Like, a big thing for me, and I've said it a few times, when Turnbull signed for Cardiff City, I was so excited. I thought him and Syrupis would be a really balanced duo. I thought it was almost like the perfect partnership. Their skill sets, their abilities meshed quite well. And we haven't seen Turnbull in that deeper position. He's always played him as a number 10, which I think Colwell is better at, certainly on what we've seen so far from Turnbull. But I think Turnbull's shown enough on the ball and what we already know of him to say he's the one that should be playing alongside Syopis. It's not what I expect the manager to do, but that is the side I would name. I'd also like to see Joel Colwell, and I'd like to see Kean Ashford on the bench, and depending on how the game's going, I'd like to see them either way towards the end of the game. If Cardiff are winning, give them 20 minutes at the end. If Cardiff are losing or we need a goal, then chuck them on for 10 at the end. But I want to see one or both of those young players towards the end of this game. At the end of the day, Jeju not going to be here next year. Bowler, probably not going to be here next year. So let's focus on the players who are going to be there next year. Obviously, we're going to try and get some minutes in Aaron Ramsey's legs if he's on the bench. I understand that. But for me, it is absolutely absolutely implicit that Reuben Colwell and O'Dowda start. And in the same way, I think it's vital that Turnbull is the one who plays the deeper midfield role. Although I think the manager will play something more like NG, Phillips, Gutas, O'Dowda. And then I think he plays Rawl, Syopis, Bowler, Turnbull, Grant and Jeju or Mate. I think Colwell will be on the bench. I think few of the others I've mentioned will be on the bench, and I will see O'Dowda at left back, which I think is an absolute waste. It's not that I don't like Wilson Esperand. I just thought he was so off it on in the Swansea game that I wouldn't be surprised to see Jamalu Collins in there. I wouldn't be disappointed if Wilson Aspirant is there, because I think actually him and O'Dowd have linked up quite well when they have been on the pitch together. So I'd be quite happy to see that. The one to watch for Cardiff for me is between two, really. Reuben Corwell has had a very good season. I think he's been exceptional, but I think he's been very good. I think if he can play week in, week out, I believe that he will develop into what we think he is capable of doing. But I think the constant rotation and taking him off interferes in him getting the momentum. I also think not having forwards running in behind affects what he can create, which is why I said I would play Kylan Grant through the middle, because then you haven't got the striker dropping into the positions and the pockets of space that Reuben Corwell goes. The other person who I thought could be a key figure for Cardiff is Turnbull, as I've mentioned, for all the reasons. He plays through the lines. He's combative. He gets around. He provides a lot of energy in the midfield area. But he's also got that really clever vertical pass in him. He's very clever at switching the play. He can play in between the lines, and he can get the wide players in O'Dowda and Tanner in behind the fullbacks, or he can isolate them against the fullbacks to get those one-on-one positions and whip the ball across and get the ball in. And then you have, and I know the manager, for instance, has questioned whether Grant's lack of height is a problem if he plays centre forward. But I think the position that Colwell plays as their 10 negates that, because he's going to be in and around Kylan Grant a lot of the time. So if you do need to go a bit more direct for whatever reason, maybe the press is good in the midfield and you need to play it in a bit more direct and then play off, you can use Colwell's size. You can use the fact that Reuben Corwell is not your stereotypical number 10, and you can play off him instead of playing off the number 9, if that makes sense. In terms of my predictions, please drop your predictions in the comments. Let me know what you think the score is. I think it's going to be a very tight game. However, I do believe if Cardiff can start fast and get an early goal, there's potential in this Sunderland side to crumble. They're not in good form. They haven't been in good form for a while. So when teams are in that really poor run of form and they're lacking in confidence, early goals and early pressure can cause them to kind of crumble a little bit. So I'd like to see Cardiff really get after them. I'm sceptical of whether we will. So my prediction for the game is 3-1 Cardiff. However, that is very, 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 very kind of got a big caveat with it, that it depends if Cardiff start fast and press high. If we sit off and we try and keep possession and slow the game down, I think that allows Sunderland to settle. And they have got players who can trouble us in your Joby Bellinghams, your Styles, your Bars. They can cause problems for Cardiff if Cardiff just allow them into the game by just playing this possession-based kind of slow football. Possession-based football can be a very good tool, but only if it's done with a purpose. And we haven't too many times this season, Cardiff, particularly at home, have kind of just been happy to keep the ball without doing anything with it. Keep the ball, yes, but have purpose and use it to break the lines and progress your team up the pitch and create chances. So that's your Cardiff City versus Sunderland preview. We'll be back over the weekend with a post-match show, the Flower Hour. We'll have 5 things we learned from Cardiff versus Sunderland, which will probably be tomorrow night. Flower Hour will be on Saturday. We'll have even more content. Cardiff City World is Cardiff City content 7 days a week by fans, for the fans, featuring a whole range of content from vlogs to live podcasts to recorded podcasts to interviews. We've got an interview with ex-Cardiff City captain Roger Gibbons coming up soon, and a whole host of things. If you haven't got your ticket for Ace Podcast Nation's live event with City Legends with Willie Boland on the 10th of May in Pontypridd, then please do get your tickets. The description, all the links and everything and the way to get the tickets are in the description. Only £10. Be another great night. The Purse Chopra and Andy Campbell ones were absolutely phenomenal evenings. Really intimate, really great times few beers, spend the evening with your ex Cardiff City players, your heroes in some cases. It's going to be a cracker. Willie Boland, cult hero, absolute top bloke, and I cannot wait for that. So make sure you get your tickets. I'll be over on Ace Podcast Nation in about 14 minutes with Rodri Giggs. We'll be talking Kobe Mainoo. We'll be talking Jurgen Klopp's replacement. And we'll also be making our list of top 10 defensive midfielders in Premier League history, among other things. So join us, me and Rodders. We'll have a good crack, good laugh. Join us at 8 o'clock over on Ace Podcast Nation. Like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. Spread the word to your Cardiff City friends about Cardiff City World, because it's only going to get bigger. It's only going to get better. Everything has been going up in terms of growth. And we've got some big, big plans. If you want to get involved and you're a Cardiff City fan, hit me up. Nice one.
Sports Social Podcast Network.